Good morning. It's good to be able to come and share with you all in worship this morning. Notice looking at the screen as to who's here. We have people from all over the place, including from our various churches, but also from right across the UK. And indeed, we have a guest from Brazil also on our screens this morning. So it is really good to be able to share with you all. We are, of course, shaped by our experiences, whether those are personal experiences or the things that happen to us and happen around the world. This morning, my thoughts are shaped by two personal experiences. The first is that 30 years ago this weekend, at the midpoint of my training for ordination, I arrived in London to begin my long practical placement at no lesser place than Hind Street Methodist Church. Over a couple of months, I got to know that church community as it was then, and there are some familiar faces still around. I led worship, and I learned of the work of the West London Mission, including substantial time working in one of the projects. Much of my subsequent ministry has been shaped by the experience of those weeks in 1990. And the learning has often provided me with a reference point. I didn't realize the anniversary until after I'd asked if Hackney and Stoke Newington could join you this morning, and I'd accepted Peter's invitation to preach. So there are more reasons than I expected to thank you for welcoming me and welcoming us in this East meets West, in London terms, opportunity for worship. In these complex times when we are sharing in all sorts of different and developing ways of gathering and worshipping, it's good that we are able to come together for this love feast this morning as a practical example of the opportunities to explore new ways that have blossomed around us in these last few weeks. As a friend noted during the week, I now seem to be going to 7 or 8 different churches in different forms every Sunday. So the theme, which is woven through my thoughts today, is many doors have closed, but others have opened. Whatever period of our lives we choose, we can identify so many things that have shaped us. So this year also sees my son's 30th birthday. Ben was actually born 2 days after Margaret Thatcher stepped down as Prime Minister in those months after my placement. That and many other events have changed the context in which we live. I might refer to 2 Gulf Wars, the opening of the Channel Tunnel, the death of a princess, the Good Friday Agreement, the formation of devolved governments in Wales and Scotland. And then 9/11 and 7/7 became more than random numbers or dates. They now describe events which are etched into our consciousness. 30 years ago, we didn't know Harry Potter, and we could hardly have imagined an iPhone. More poignantly for this moment, we couldn't conceive of the consequences lying in wait from foot and mouth, SARS or Ebola. These moments in history came to us with new challenge and opportunity, and in significant ways led to things being different. They couldn't be predicted, but they had a profound effect on the world in which we live. And now we live through times which perhaps more than ever have exhausted our vocabulary of adjectives as we seek to convey our sense of what is going on. So we're constantly saying unprecedented, uncharted, strange, confusing. Our world has changed and is changing. Many doors have closed, but others have opened. And so to my second experience, which relates to the gospel reading. It was in fact the text behind my first ever sermon as I progressed through the early stages of becoming a Methodist local preacher. I can't recall the date for that one, but I do know it was over 40 years ago. I was, of course, just a child, you will appreciate. The go-to Bible translation then was the Revised Standard Version, in which Jesus' self-description is rendered as the door of the sheepfold, we're perhaps more familiar with the translation gate. But I ask this morning that we might go with a version which used door. Arguably, it's a better description of the rough wooden barrier which would have protected a first century Middle Eastern sheepfold in any case. The door image serves a number of purposes to do with safety and security, both the lack of them and the possibility of finding them. The impact of the imagery here is to encourage and embolden the followers of Jesus. There's no threat of division between good sheep and bad sheep, no suggestion that thieves and bandits will succeed in destroying part of the flock. Instead, the sheep are the shepherd's own. Their familiarity with the shepherd, who is also the door, guarantees them their safety and security. And notably, the door allows them to go out and come in, knowing that in both they will be safe. The language is, of course, reminiscent of Psalm 23, the words of which we will be singing in a few minutes. On the Sunday after Easter, the Gospel reading recounted the story of Thomas and the struggle he had to believe what his friends had told him. The thing that struck me most in that reading was the context. The disciples were hidden behind locked doors, fearing for their safety. That held a powerful resonance with the situation in which we find ourselves at the moment. As the word lockdown has become the theme of every news bulletin and an everyday reality for so many people. But Jesus' presence with his friends behind that locked door was a sign of a new beginning. What happened in the moment that Jesus came into their midst not only had a profound effect on Thomas, who was finally able to declare his belief, it was a key moment in giving the whole group the confidence to venture out and declare the good news in the world around them. In the realm of God, a closed or locked door is no barrier to our experiencing God's love and grace, and doesn't confine our vision to the immediate surroundings. God has not given up on us or limited our horizons in these times, and we are called to love, serve and support one another as much, if not more, than ever. How we do it may be radically different at the moment, but every phone call, text message, video, or even letter is a reminder that though our physical horizons may be severely limited, the love we experience through Jesus with us and beyond us is not. Many doors have closed, but others have opened. The challenge to be God's faithful people in new ways will inevitably have a lasting effect on us, just as all our experiences do. As we have lived through drastic times before without knowing what the long-term consequences would be, we do so again. And we should be alert to the lessons we can draw from our current experience. Much has been made of the present situation being of the same magnitude as the Second World War. And when we look back, we see that many of the changes in our society which came from that time, not least the formation of the NHS, didn't just happen as peace came. Discussion, planning, hoping had begun even while conflict was still raging. It was understood that something new had to be born out of fear and death. Surely the same must be true now. If we simply try to recreate what was, we're missing an opportunity. That will be true equally in the world around us, and as we learn lessons for the communities we call church. So discussions about improved air quality, remote working, making more room for cycling and walking will be vital. And this time is highlighting many basic inconsistencies and inequalities in our society. A theme of several conversations I've been involved in this week involving faith reps, Hackney Council and voluntary groups has been that of digital exclusion across parts of our society. Not being able to or confident in accessing the internet has become far more urgent than we might ever have thought before. And for our fellowship and outreach, well, we may have hit on new opportunities to be inclusive and radical communities as we work in new ways, And as we gain insights from those many different church communities that we can now experience through the various medium that we use, what we can do and what is good for us to do has become so much more visible. The description of the earliest fellowship we shared from Acts can sometimes feel like a picture of an idealized world that we know, if it ever existed, only did so for a very short time before arguments, self-interest, and intransigence set in. But it does serve to remind us that the key to who we are as Christian disciples is how we relate to one another, care for our community and for ourselves. As in a moment we feast together, we are reminded that that fellowship around the table, in the giving and receiving of food, we touch the very core of God's love for us. Many doors have closed, but others have opened, because we believe in a God whose grace is new and real each and every day. Amen.